Oh, yes. That is the sound of insanity. Yes, indeed. You are listening to the one and only. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Carolyn Joe! Shh. Quiet. Quiet. Hey, everybody. My name is Joe Carabello. I'm, in fact, a filmmaker, photographer, writer, musician, but today I am here and I am a podcaster for everyone's enjoyment. Across from me is a person that does even more, even better. The ultra talented, super special. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you going, Carolyn?
I'm going good.
How you going?
I'm going good. I'm a little concerned because now I'm just being paranoid, but like a cord just dropped in the studio and I'm wondering if we are recording because...
It's fine.
Because this cord...
It is fine
dropped.
By me.
It dropped. And I was like, wait, did that unplug?
I know these chords.
Okay.
And we don't need that cord.
Okay. Just making sure, because, like, I don't know all these chords, and there's a scramble of chords everywhere, and I'm like, what? That just fell from the sky and, unplugged itself.
Well, if our producer is ever here in the studio, he would run in and help us, but no. Never.
No.
We're always just left to our own...
lazy producer we have.
We're always just left to our own devices here in the Asylum, the Astray Asylum Studios. Making it happen.
Broadcasting live!
Yes,
from
we
the
are
Astray
broadcasting.
Asylum Studios.
We are broadcasting live. It's great. It's great. This is that post Halloween moment. Is it post? Post, not pre. It's post. Yes.
Yeah, post is after, and everyone also turned back their clocks because fall back.
Oh yes, that fall back time.
Spring forward, fall back.
Start it out, man. Start it out.
We supposedly get an extra hour, but you know what? I don't think the payoff is worth it because now it's going to be dark at like 5 p.m. I don't like that.
You want it to be sunny?
I want to at least be able to see so I can like walk to my car after work.
Do you want more sun or do you want less sun?
I want more sun.
You want more sun, so you just want the sun to always be there.
No, it doesn't have to always be there. I know that there needs to be a light in the dark, but I want to like... When I get out of work at 6 p.m., so it's like... dark, and I mean, of course, I can probably try to click my keychain and find where my car is, but I mean, I'm not working on like total place that's like horrible and bad or anything. It's not like hopefully nothing bad will happen to me, but I just don't like being in the dark right when I get out of work and I'm like in the parking lot searching for a car.
Something bad happens to everyone, but hopefully not that bad.
Yeah, no one wants to be spooked like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just saying, you gotta be able to navigate and see where you're going. I just don't.
Well, we have eyes.
I know, but like sometimes it gets
the
so
hills
dark.
Have eyes.
It gets so dark that it's like, how are you supposed to get home?
Well, that's what dark is. Darkness
dark.
Is the dark.
But it's dark too early. 5 p.m. darkness. That's too early for me.
It's gonna keep getting worse.
I don't like that, or
better in some speed.
No, but see, Joe, do you see what I mean? But also, I work where like I see a window, but I'm not like near a window. So basically, I never see the sun. I never see the light of day. Like a prisoner.
But that's up to you, man.
I know.
That's
that
up
means,
to you.
You know what that means?
You can make that choice to take that 20-minute walk that they require you of taking it out in front of that computer.
I should definitely
just use a whole hour of that time.
But then when I go outside, it's too cold. There's always a problem.
There's always a problem. That's the thing of life, man. There's always going to be a problem. You must know. Everyone must know. There's always going to be something. What is that? Murphy's Law?
Murphy's Law is like anything that... can happen will happen.
Anything that can happen will happen, and you know, people hear what they want to hear, so majority of the times it's the bad stuff. If something bad is going to happen, if there's a possibility, it's probably going to happen. I've realized that the most out of my life. You know, if there's a possibility that something bad could happen because like, oh, I forgot to do this.
But what if we flip it around and be like, if there's a possibility that something good can happen, it could happen.
Yes, equinox.
So like,
we got all these theories working together here. You got the equinox, you got the Murphy's Law, and you got the power of positivity.
Yes.
I guess that's I lost track of my thought halfway into that sentence.
And you got power of positivity.
That's how. Yeah.
You got PMA.
I got power
positive
of
mental attitude.
Yeah, I got that at the very end. But
so,
now we got the Carolyn's news.
Yeah. Speaking of positive thinking, isn't that like part of what New Day is all about too?
Sure.
Don't they have shirts? I was checking out their new
power,
shirt.
Power! Positivity!
Is that their thing? Power positivity? Because I was checking out their shirt because I very much love the one with the unicorn. It's like all three of them riding some unicorn and
yeah.
then like playing a trombone.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, that's a crazy shirt.
But you got some big news, don't you?
I do.
The news that people
have
been waiting for.
News announcements. Okay.
But let them know.
I will let them know.
Set them up. I'll tee it off. You freaking knock that ball in the hole.
Well, this past Saturday was Cartoonist Draw Blood, and you can check out photos of the event on the Curls Studio Facebook page. Look for a link, and I'm sure I'm going to do a bloody blog recap for you, because that was exciting. We did a American Red Cross blood drive this past Saturday on Halloween. And we've moved on from there. We can talk a little bit about it later, but we've moved on. And we have news, because this coming weekend, we have more events. The events just don't stop for Carolyn and Joe. They continue. This coming weekend, and it's not just the weekend, it includes Friday. So November 6th, 7th, and 8th is the DC Podfest, the inaugural DC Podfest, because it's the first one.
The inauguration.
Yes. And it is taking place at the Wonder Bread Factory. The address is 641 S Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. And Joe and I will be there. And not only that, we are also recording a live podcast. This same very show that you are listening to, the Carolyn and Joe Show, will be recorded live. And you can purchase tickets to be a member of the live studio audience, which I think is really special.
We work well when it's live because we like messing with you guys.
Yeah. And also, like, how many people, like, raise your hands. How many people have actually been to a live podcast? I don't think many people have. So I think it's exciting to take part in that. Our performance date is Saturday night, November 7th, this coming Saturday, from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Now, I know it's pretty late, and I totally understand it, but that's the time we were given. So we're going to make this a late night show.
But also, it's great because, you know, you get that leeway. You know, you get that leeway to do whatever you want.
Yeah, and
that's
also...
That's really the best part. You know, it's sort of like you go to the Rocky Horror, because that Rocky Horror picture show at nighttime and midnight showing, that's because it's insane. When you go to all these parties at nighttime, they don't start at like 8 or 9. They start at party time. That's, you know, the 10 o'clock era. And that's what we are here for.
Yes,
and at least that's the way I'm thinking about it.
And also, I tried like 3 times. I'm like, is it my turn to jump in?
There is no turn.
It was kind of like
there is no turn.
Like, you know, what is it called? Like double Dutch jumping? Like,
I have no clue what that is.
While you're talking like 3 times, I was like, am I ready to jump in here? Okay, I'm going to jump in. So, also, in addition to that, I was looking at the schedule. So, you know, ours is pretty late, so it's 10 to 11. And then after that, they're having an after party at 11 p.m. So if you really want to, like, you know, come on out, you can come to our show and join the after party afterwards. I think that's pretty exciting. I mean, you can meet people, talk to fellow podcasters, or if you're curious about doing your own podcast, you can learn about podcasting. There's a whole bunch of exciting things on the schedule. And if you can't afford to go for all 3 days of the PodFest, you can also just go to the Carolyn and Joe Show live taping. And that would be $10. So we're excited about it. And, you know, I understand if you can't afford to go for the whole weekend, that's understandable. But if you want to just join us, you can. I think I think it will be a fun time. And not only that, I'm going to make a grand announcement, because we do have a special guest for our live show at DC PodFest. He is a man that you may well know, because his face was all over the world during WrestleMania 30. Do you remember this man? Shocked Undertaker guy, Ellis Emba. That is his real name. He will be joining us. And if you remember correctly, Joe, do you remember WrestleMania 30?
You know, it's funny because, like, that is the face
that you remember
out of that whole entire show. The moment they showed Ellis's face, the shocked Undertaker guy's face, there's two things you remember out of WrestleMania. Three things you remember out of WrestleMania 30. Not 30, but 29. Right?
Was it 30? I thought it was 30.
Yeah.
Now I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. Because it was Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan won with the Yes Movement and all that. Undertaker lost with Brock. And his face, that is what you remember.
Those are the moments.
Those are the moments that you remember.
These are the moments.
You see his face all over the network. You saw his face even on cable, on the TV, on everyone
on
remembered.
The internet,
instantly
everywhere.
You saw that. Instantly everyone in unison wanted to look up this man. This man.
I was like, who is
this
that guy?
This face.
He's everywhere. And he's all over the network all the time, even to this day. But yes, we're excited because I found out he lived in D.C. And I was like, man, I don't know when I hooked up with him earlier, but I was like, for a while, I've been talking about having him as a guest or something. And then I was like, well, PodFest, And he lives in D.C.
Historic podcast, yeah.
I need to get this guy. So he is joining us live in person, so I'm really excited about that.
So you've seen his face, and now you get to hear his voice.
And you get to see him.
Yeah.
Physically there. Talk to him. We're going to talk to him about his moment, but also I want to get to know him, you know, like just as a person.
He'll join in on the conversation.
Seems like a pretty cool guy, because I follow him on Twitter, and he's like a really big wrestling fan, just in general. Like, I mean, he got like ringside seats for WrestleMania. He's a big fan, so... It should be a good time just talking up wrestling with him or getting to know who he is, and I'm excited. I like this dude. What can you say? He has a iconic face.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what's funny about his face? Because, like, you know, I know his face. I saw it. But when I was making the promo images for our live show with him, I was like, man, the face is even better when I, like, look at it now. Because not only that, because it's like his glasses are kind of off to the side, too. They're, like, kind of angled wrong. And he's just, like, in total shock. Like, it's almost like he's in so much shock that his, like, glasses got removed or something. You know, like, oh, they're, like, falling off his face or something. It's good. I like how his glasses aren't on, like, straight properly. They're a little bit angled. I was like, dang, that's such a great image.
Yeah.
Such a great moment. And who would have known that when he made that face that he would become a celebrity?
There's so many
things. He's probably like, I'm not a celebrity.
Yeah, but there's so many things I want to know. I just want to know, you know what I mean? There's, you know, that's like a lightning in a bottle type moment that this gentleman had.
Yeah. You know what I equate it to in a way is apparently Pam Anderson, she was at like a baseball game, I think it was, in Canada. And she just happened to be, you know, sitting in the stands, probably minding her own business. And then, you know, what is it called? The fan camera? Is
yeah.
there a word for that?
Not
the kiss cam, but some other camera.
Something like that, yeah.
Some basically fan camera was like, check out this girl. And the cameraman probably thought she was hot or something, of course, because she's a good-looking lady. And, you know, from there, she was able to get, like, some type of modeling sponsorship through a beer company. And then she was able to be the home improvement girl on Tool Time. And, you know, Baywatch Babe and Playboy from there. And, like, it just, you know, now she has her own empire. And, of course, she did Stripperella, which is my favorite project she did, the animated show. But, you know, it's just like her career totally spun off just by some cameraman catching her eye.
And that's
or
really,
catching his eye on her.
And I feel like that's what's really amazing. Really, it's like you know, people say, what's your 15 minutes of fame? But it's also like, how can you take those moments and make them even bigger for you, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes those 15 minutes of fame, or sometimes just being discovered, it's really up to you to take the ball and run.
It is. That's why I really do admire Pammy Anderson. Like, I don't know, some people give her, like... I mean, recently she hasn't really been in the news, because I guess she's... You know, people are like, oh, she's getting older.
She don't need to always be in the news at this point. She was in the news for so long.
She was in the news for, like, 15 or 20 years, constantly.
Some people can't even take the 3 days or the 4 days they're on the news anywhere, and then, you know, people have been doing it for, like, you know, their whole entire life.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely had her moment where she was, like, the hot babe of America, or I guess I shouldn't even say America because she's Canadian, but she was like the hot babe of North America.
Yeah.
And even she spiraled into other countries, you know, and she was the hot babe for like a decade. You know, she was the Baywatch babe.
And I do,
that's
like,
pretty cool.
I do enjoy like hearing how people got like discovered, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, Pamela Anderson founded a, you know, it's like you hear all these stories. Even Sarah Michelle Gellar, you know, she was in New York. Someone came up to her, you know, like I love hearing all these stories.
Yeah.
Even Justin Bieber, it's on YouTube. It's like now it's changing how people can get discovered.
Yeah. And even Rosario Dawson, wasn't she just like sitting on a stoop in New York City, just hanging out with like her neighborhood
and
pals?
Then David Boreanaz just walking his dog.
Dang, really? I think Charlize Theron was just pumping gas, and apparently she got in an argument with somebody, and I guess an agent or somebody saw her and was like, she has acting chops.
It wasn't like Kate Upton was just doing like a dance on the Tron as well.
Oh, maybe. That's pretty impressive, though. You gotta look at people's careers.
It's crazy.
By that one moment. It's that's why Ellis will be so cool to have on our show, because it's like he had that moment. And then, like, you know, he's everywhere. He's on the network all the time. He's like, every wrestling fan knows him. He's like the king of wrestling fans.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Like him, and also there was like Ms. Girl. I think those are the two fans that I straight up remember. Or wasn't there also a clown that would always dress up?
But the thing is, though, is that like, yeah, you have these other people, like, you know, you have the you'd have the Ms. Girl, you'd have those, I guess, those clowns. But the thing is, though, it's like one of the most historic moments in all of, not just like,
that is
not
the
in,
moment
not
of wrestling.
Of just like, not of just wrestling, but like when you go and equate it to like even the Undertaker's career, like that history, and then you go and equate it to that show, and then you go equate it to the bigger ideal of like being shocked, and you know, just like you have to show the face. And not only that, but he's wearing the Paul Heyman guy shirt, so it's like this cross promotion of the thing.
He
that's
has like
happening.
That bright white shirt.
Yeah, no, the black one.
No, he was wearing a white.
Was
shirt
it white
when it happened? I don't know if it was a Paul Heyman shirt or not. Check, I think it check. Said it said something about yes movement.
Check it out. Because I thought it was a Paul Heyman, the black Paul Heyman.
Well,
one.
You know, maybe because I think that they had the same seats for the Raw the next day, so maybe he had a different shirt on that other day. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was a white shirt that he had.
But I bet people
will
be able to tell
moment.
Us. Remember the face. That's how it goes. But see, that's what's really incredible about today. You know, it's man, you can get in a way you can get discovered like that. You know?
He has a white shirt that says "Just Say Yes."
All right, there you go.
Yes, and he's also like memes everywhere.
The Mr. Meme.
Mr. Meme, it's a good name. I think that's awesome though. I mean, how many wrestling fans would love to be him though? You know, it's like you want those ringside seats and also the corner seat. I always call it the Rey Toro seat.
Yeah.
One of the guitarists of My Chemical Romance. It's the seat where you're like walking down the whole aisle, the entrance ramp, and then it's, if you were facing the ring, it's directly to the left, that left corner.
Yeah.
Like I'm always like, that seat's good seat, because you can always like high five people, and you get like kind of both sides. You get to see the entrance area and you get front row. Not directly camera side, but you sometimes get on camera there too. It's good.
See, and those are the seats, like, now, I mean, we've had pretty close seats before at the wrestling shows, but for me, it's like, I can't, the next stage of seats that I need to have are those, like, camera sides, on the camera side on, you know,
the
being
L
able to be,
seat.
Yeah,
need
I need
to
get those
L
seats, man. And I'm like, I'm not even going to try. Even if I get behind the, what's it called, the announcers or in that corner that we last were in, that's not even good enough. I'm not even going to get those seats. I had choice of getting those
behind
seats.
Behind the announcer is pretty good because they do cut to the announcers and then you can be on TV if you want.
Yeah, but we were sort of like that. We were sort of like that before. I want those seats, that on camera seats,
on camera ringside.
That's those are the ones I haven't had ever. I don't even know how to get them. I got politic my way into getting them somehow.
I don't know how that's possible. But every seat at ROH is good.
That's true, but still, it's not like camera side. That's what I want. I want to get in that camera moment. Like ever since I was young, I was like, "How are we gonna get those seats? We gotta get those seats one time, just to be like right there, being right there." It's almost everything that you do like influences the show. That's the position I want to be in.
Man, people have great signs. They have like giant heads.
Yeah,
those are pretty impressive. I've seen some really good Dolph Ziggler signs recently, because I think he has like this whole visual motif that you can just go crazy with, all bright neon colors and glitter and. Who else knows animal prints and all that? I think there's so many good things you can do with Dolph Ziggler.
I mean, that's the one. That's why I think like Troy and I were having a talk about this in during the blood drive yesterday when we were sitting and we're just like, you know, making sure everything's running smoothly as we can. You know, he was talking about like, you know, how with his job, and he was seeing how like a lot of politics go into play, and he was like, Joe, I didn't realize how much of this world is so similar to the professional wrestling world. Like the politics of that. And I was like, I know, man, because like pro wrestling, dude, that art form is, you know, that it's a metaphor for life. I've always said that forever. And he's like, yeah, everything is like, there's a similar, everything like coincides together. Everything is like very like on the same track of like how people and how books are treated or how, you know, like just like that.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy because once you get into the niche of like probably every type of profession, there is some type of politicking involved. And
but
you're
not just,
friends with this
but,
friend.
But it's not just politicking. It's the way things are structured.
Yeah.
You know?
It's life. Wrestling is life. What else can you say?
I mean, there's plenty of stuff. I wrote a whole essay
on
that.
Do you still have the essay?
I don't know. Somewhere around there. It's in a book that got published. I never even got a copy of that.
Well, but you don't have a copy of your essay? Do you have a Word file anywhere?
Somewhere. I don't know.
Do you think it would be cool if you read that?
No.
Like on a future podcast?
Very few times I ever do read any of that.
You're like, this is my thesis.
Yeah, that was my thesis.
Well, you know, wrestling, I think, is a really... I think a lot of people, like, turn it away. Same thing with comics. A lot of people are like, oh, it's not legitimate.
See, I'm always entertained by the fact that...
Each year, it's getting more and more recognized.
See, but, like, at the same time, like, I'm into a lot of things. Let's be honest. I'm not... I try not to be one-dimensional, and then I probably am. I mean, I love wrestling. I love comic books. I love music. But I feel like everything I do is still not cool enough, no matter what. Even when they get hip and I'm still doing it, I still don't feel like I'm the cool person doing it. You know, everyone else is always making it more cooler than them or than me. I don't know enough to make it cool. I don't know every little issue. I don't know every song, or I don't follow a person's every word.
I don't even think editors of books know every little detail. It would just be too much to know.
But you know what I'm saying? It feels like there's so many things that I feel like, to me, there's so many things that I like that, but when I'm still in the group of other people who like it, I'm not.
You're not as
cool
educated.
Enough yet. Someone's gonna pull, like, if I'm talking about wrestling, then they pull out something vague Japanese thing. Oh, I don't know it, or I didn't watch last week's thing. Everyone has all these deep cuts that they try to reference, but I still like it, and I think that's what's really that's all that matters.
Yeah, that is all that matters, and I think people need to have something to follow, some type of, even if it's outside of their realm. I think it's fun to be able to, like, locate something that you enjoy and then connect with other people about it. I think it gets down to, like, a coolness thing if people are battling over it.
That's
like
really...
King of the Nerds. Like, I want to be King of the Nerds.
That's
no,
why
I'm King of the
I
Nerds.
I feel like it's really, you know, and I try to like, listen to what people talk about, and I try not to, like, and I find myself doing this recently where I just, a lot of things I'll say, like, in comparison to someone else, I'll be like, well, this happened to me, or, oh, yeah, you know what I think? And I don't know. I feel like I'm messing up the conversation by doing that. I'm not joining in the conversation. I'm just telling them what I'm telling them about me, putting myself over. And I'm like, I listen to myself, and I feel like I'm really annoyed by that.
That's the number one thing that people like to hear, though, is their name and people talking about them. From studies that I've heard.
Yeah.
So, everyone likes to talk about themselves. But I think that's a natural thing.
I just want the conversation to be a good conversation. I'd like to put a little bit of input, or, you know, I don't know. I think the key is, to me, relatability. You know, I'd like to, if I have a conversation with someone, I'm really intrigued by something that we can relate together on the same page.
That's why Troy and you connected on the wrestling and the comics. I mean, you guys got two things at least in common.
But I want to do this about anybody I have a conversation with.
Yeah, yeah.
Scientists, I'm going to try to find something to connect with, on, like, people talking science. Like,
That's the key, though, is finding that inlet in the conversation where the connection is made.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, so the Blood Tribe was this past Saturday, and it was during Halloween, which is awesome, because like we said before, that was a dream of mine, to have cartoonists draw blood actually on Halloween. So I was excited about that. And we saw a lot of people dressed up. What type of outfits did we see, Joe? We saw Mickey Mouse. We saw this woman and her daughter. I guess they were some type of, like, zombified people, but one of the wife, the woman, had, like, a, I don't know what you would call it, a pipe coming out of her head.
Yeah.
Like, part of a pipe. And the daughter's makeup was really good, too. It was all zombified. Saw a Viking, saw a ninja. Oh, man, I wish I wrote them all down. A couple of people had, like, crazy Halloween socks.
Saw police.
Oh, yeah, I saw, like, a literal
medics,
police
and
the
medics.
The police came by in the morning because we had a little situation with the alarm, but it was not, like, that big a deal. Like, they literally just asked me questions for, like, 20 seconds. Seconds, not minutes. Seconds, and were like, everything got under control here? Because we just, like, disalarmed the alarm, and they were like, yeah, okay, bye. It was pretty fun, though, because I'm like, I talked to cops on Halloween.
Yeah.
During the blood drive. And meanwhile, like, Red Cross is all, like, loading in all their gear and stuff. But yeah, we did good, man. We're saving lives.
That's all that really matters.
I think we did great. Yeah, next year we'll see if we can do it again. I don't think Halloween's going to land on a Saturday again, but we'll probably try to do it around that time.
So around, I feel like it has to be, like, on a Saturday, no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, it has to be on a
so
Saturday.
So whatever the nearest Saturday that can possibly happen.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, you know, it's a good time to do it because it's also right before holiday time, and that's when they need blood for some reason. around holiday time is a good time to donate.
What I found super interesting about blood drives in general, or at least when we're doing these blood drives, is that like people who are giving blood, they're really excited about giving blood. It's like a thing that they do is they give blood. No one's being forced to give blood because people came in groups, mm-hmm. like party groups. People came, you know, come like, yeah, I do this all the time. Like these are things that, these are activities and these are hobbies that people do is they go out and give blood. And like, you know, the more we do these, because this was the third annual blood drive, the more we do these and we talk to people like after they've gotten their blood drawn or before then, and we talk to them, you know, we find out like, yeah, this is what we do. I always give blood. We're always giving blood. I'm like, damn, so people are just going out and like, I'm going to go have a sandwich, give blood. It's like, I'm going to go play 12 rounds of golf and then give blood. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Do have like a time frame where like, I don't know it off the top of my head, but there's a certain amount of time that you can give blood for. It's not like you can do it every weekend or something.
But the thing is, though, I never knew that was a thing.
It's like, a culture.
Like, hey, you're part of the Bloods and the Crips, you know, maybe that's how it all started. But like, I was like, wow, that's like, you know, everyone who probably who went there, it wasn't like their. I felt like it was not their first time giving blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either they love needles or they just love giving blood. And I thought I was really amused by that.
Also,
it became like a party.
I mean, the needle.
They're like,
part,
I'm here to give blood.
The needle part is not as scary as you think it is. Like, I mean, if you are scared of it, I wouldn't. Like, I didn't want to even watch it like be inserted, but I just closed my eyes and thought happy thoughts. But it's just like a prick. It really is. It's not like somebody's stabbing you or something.
Yeah, but no one likes a prick.
Why not?
Who wants a prick?
Well, would somebody rather be like, I got stabbed?
Yeah, why not?
I'm just saying it didn't hurt very much. Like, I feel like there's this misconception that people are afraid of it. Because I'll admit, like, before I started the blood drive, maybe, like, whatever, 5 years ago. Because we started the blood drive 3 years ago. But, like, a handful of years ago, I was probably, like, afraid of giving blood. Because I was like, oh, man, somebody's going to stick a needle in you. And then, like, you know.
What if that doesn't stop? Blood. What if they just keep giving blood until, like, you drain?
You know, like, I don't know. It's just, it can be a little overwhelming. But then if you stand back and think about it and not be so selfish about yourself, you're like, hey, man, I'm helping other people. Like, every blood donation can save up to 3 lives.
You know, it's amazing that we had people that were... I felt like this year there was a lot of people that were rejected more than I realized than last or the year before.
Yeah.
And that shocked me because you know what? Again, I was talking about how people like really enjoy, the people who went were really looking forward to like giving their blood and their plasma and whatever it is they want. And then to see them be like, I got rejected.
Yeah.
I
well,
was like,
you have
oh,
to
man.
Be, another thing is if you're a really tiny person, you'll get rejected. Like if you're under 100 pounds or something like that, I don't know what the minimum is, maybe 110. I'm not quite sure. But if you're a very small person, skinny person, they won't let you give blood. Cause I think you need the blood when you're like that little, you need that blood. But most people that can give blood, you know, most people can give blood. Getting rejected would only mean that you're very tiny or you've traveled to another country, specifically Africa, because they have malaria there. And you have to basically wait, I guess, a year. Depends where you go in Africa. But you basically have to wait a year till you can give blood. And the other thing is when you lived, I think it was England. If you live in England during a certain time period, long ago, actually, pretty long ago, they had mad cow disease, so I don't know all the details about why they can't give blood, but I know that if you are in that area during a certain time frame, you can't give blood. But it's mostly people who have traveled or are very tiny, and also they do like a little test on you before you give blood to make sure that you have proper iron efficiency. So it's there to like make sure that you're actually going to be healthy to give blood. But if you're like a normal healthy person that hasn't traveled, you pretty much could give blood. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
But people want to travel though.
I know. I mean, I haven't been to Africa, but always, to me that seems so exotic. I'm like, dang, where are all these people going to Africa?
I always tell those people who are like, what's going to get me rejected here? I was like, have you been to Africa? And like, no. Well, that's usually one of the main things.
Yeah.
Have you been to Africa?
Or have you been to a country that has malaria? I think also South America, too. I don't know what countries, but any country that has malaria, I think that's like an issue. Or I don't know. I don't know if people go to the Caribbean, if you can still donate. I'm not quite sure.
Have you been on a cruise? Was that what it is?
No, but if you, I don't know. I don't know all the details of where people go. But yeah, I mean,
sometimes they stop at Africa, right? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think that's that long.
You want to come
cruise
to the African cruise?
I don't think they sail across they don't sail across the Atlantic like the Titanic, or I guess maybe they do. I don't know.
What about the Jamaican bobsled team?
Then they won't be able to give blood.
Oh, I want some Jamaican blood.
So many people that I know are on these cruises that they're taking. There's just like everyone. The cruises have been like blowing up, man.
I know. I seriously, this year, two of my coworkers went on cruise. Like Teresa just got back from a cruise, and we have a couple other friends that are on a cruise right now. And I think there's like a couple other people that went on cruise this year. So it's like, I know that technically it's probably only like 10 people, but to me in my world, I'm like, that's a lot of people going on cruises. I feel like everyone's talking about going on cruises. It is popular. I guess people are cruising. What can you say?
I wonder what the appeal is though at this point.
Well, basically I feel like some of them are pretty affordable actually. Like at first I was like, oh my God, that's probably like so much money. But if you get a cabin, I guess that doesn't have one of the balconies, you can, it's more affordable. It ends up breaking down to minimal like $100 a day if you get, but also if you get seasick or like feel like you're boxed in and you don't get a window, then you might not enjoy it as much. But if you pay for a window, it costs more. But also I feel like on vacation, if you're already on the boat, I would just be out on the deck like sitting in a chair. I wouldn't be sitting in my room without windows.
Well, yeah,
you know, like I just go there to sleep, because usually when I do go on vacations, I don't hang out in the hotel. Like I usually get the cheapest hotel I can find that's pretty shady, honestly, and I like spend the most minimal amount of time in the hotel.
I feel like that's how majority of the vacationing has happened, is we're not even gonna be at the hotel anywhere, just go and travel.
Yeah. So you just, when I want to travel, I just go to the hotel to sleep.
I'm
not going to hang out.
If you can recommend a best way for people to do vacations on traveling on a budget, you should have that show. Maybe you should How to Travel with Carolyn, or a Vacationing with Carolyn. And you tell the world like, this is, you know, you can go town for town, just like how Rachel Ray had that $40 a day.
Yeah.
Dude. Maybe you should have a show like that. It's like, you know, whatever, how much you spend for a vacation, and this is how you can just spend this amount.
Seriously, the sad fact about myself is I have not left the United States yet, and I don't know if that's actually super sad, but I sometimes feel like people are like, I don't want to say that they're braggy, they're probably just excited about going on vacations, and then I was getting into the conversations with people, and they're like, I'm going here, and I'm going here, and then we're going here, and I'm going here, and I'm going here, I'm a world traveler, and like, that's really great. But then, like, internally, there is a small voice inside my head that's like, man, Carolyn, you haven't been anywhere. Look at all these other people going everywhere, and you're nothing, you know?
The voice is, yeah, fuck off.
Like, and I think it's great that they are traveling. I just haven't done that. And, like, the way I was raised, too, I think has part of it. And I'm not trying to blame my parents, because my parents were very providing.
My parents!
No, they're very providing, and they're great, but like, we just never went on any, like, European vacation. We never went on any cruise. We just never
let's be honest though.
My family doesn't come from like a group of travelers.
You know, my family didn't go to European vacation either. And I doubt if they were from the Philippines, I doubt they would have went anywhere else.
Yeah, probably not. If they didn't go anywhere else, then that's all you guys went to was Philippines.
Yeah.
I think you went to Canada once.
They cared about really each place they'd travel to was just to see another Filipino.
Yeah.
Went to Canada to meet another Filipino. Went to Georgia to meet another Filipino.
Georgia, like Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Okay.
It's literally like how like Professor Xavier is just hunting down mutants, but in different parts of the world.
It's pretty bad.
At least that's how I relate. It's like, oh yeah, we have a cousin here. Maybe that was their you know,
he's
that's their reason. Like, we can go to Toronto, we can just stay with your cousin. You know, maybe that's how it works.
Probably. But I guess what I'm saying is that I didn't come from a traveling background, but I will give myself, like, full credit. When I do travel, I am really good at making travel arrangements and being thrifty. If you're down with, like, staying in a couple shady hotels, I'm very good at that.
Well, that's why you're good in that position, because, like, you know, you enjoy doing that. You know, you
I will
you,
say
you're good at locking that in. That's why usually that falls into your department.
So do you think I'm good at like logistics, travel arrangements?
Yeah, with like putting those together, yeah.
That's awesome. Because, like...
Why not, right?
I think I am really good at that. But I will say, if I did have children, I was traveling with children, things might be a little different. Because some of the hotels that I've stayed at, I'm not saying that they're completely horrible, but there's a couple that I'm like, you know how kids are, where they're touching things, crawling on the ground, and, like, going under bed or whatever they do? I would hell not want kids touching around the hotel rooms that I've stayed at.
And that's why you go for those, the, you know, a little better.
Yeah, so like...
Go to that Hyatt.
Eventually, if there comes a time where I do have kids, like, I will look into some Hiltons or something, because...
And then Howard Johnson's.
And then, I don't know if Howard Johnson's that much better, but I'm just saying that, like, I'm going to look up to, like, you know... Take a couple steps up, because, you know, you just want things to be a little more clean, and, so, you know, I don't want kids touching gross stuff. And, you know, I just don't want that because kids are exploratory. And
I feel at this point I've stayed in some great hotels and some nasty ass hotels. Some really nasty ones.
Yeah. I mean, and there's probably even worse. And
oh, yeah, there's some worse ones too. Little motels.
Yeah.
Rent by the hour.
The best hotels I've stayed at have been... what's the one with the heavenly bed?
The Westin.
Yeah, I was thinking of the W, but I have not stayed
the
at W.
The W is pretty damn amazing too.
I have not stayed at that. I knew that it started
the
with W.
The W fucking looks like James Bond up in that joint.
But Westin though, I think Westin is very nice. But you know, that being said, if you're staying at a Days Inn versus, you know, a nicer either Hilton or Westin or that type of thing. Like, I will say, when you're traveling with kids and you want to make sure that things are remotely clean, that you do have to prep for the cost going up at least 2/3. So I'm not going to be very excited about that.
Maybe it's because maybe that's at that point where people are just like, yeah, just chill in this hotel. It's so luxurious.
Yeah, maybe that's when they're like, I'm just going to stay here and get.
We're like, we're paying for it.
Food ordered and stuff. Well, that's what people do like about cruises, because apparently it's a 24/7 food and you can call anytime and just be like, hey, I want such and such, and they will make it and bring it to you. It doesn't matter what it is. You could want grilled cheese or you can want filet mignon. They will come up and give it to you any time of day. If you want to eat at 3 a.m they'll bring it to you. So people do like that.
Well, yeah.
And I of course, who wouldn't mind being waited on hand and foot? But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if that's for me, you know, like, and you're on a whole boat with other people.
Well, the people part, I can probably work any scenario, but I'm always down with not.
What I like to do on vacation is actually go to places like the desert, where like no one else is there, and you're just driving on like a lonesome highway.
Maybe
to me, that's vacation. It's not like sitting on a beach and having.
Boat. You should get a shrimping boat or a tugboat.
Yes, a tugboat. That would be awesome.
You want some of that? You want to go to like Skull Island? That's what
it
is.
Yeah, I want to go to Skull Island or like Bermuda Triangle and never come back.
Yeah, that's like, exactly what I want.
But what's crazy though is, I don't know, man. It's just, to me, I kind of want a vacation just to explore on my own. I don't want to necessarily be around people.
Well, I guess technically on those cruises you hit like a certain destination, right?
But also I don't know because I haven't been on a cruise, but I think they have a limited time frame where they're like they'll stop off at, you know, a ruins or some type of, you know, resort, and then you only get like a few hours and then you have to be back on the boat and then move on to the next destination.
I bet the visual is pretty cool though, just like the Titanic where you're like that, you're at the dock and you're boarding, look here, and everyone's all waving goodbye.
it is pretty nice,
it's nice knowing you.
See you never again. But it's just, I'm not against cruises, but it does seem like very, I bet the islands that you're visiting, it's like really commercial, and then they'll probably have like town folk that as soon as you get off the boat, they want to sell you like a seashell necklace. So, and they're like, I made this.
Pretty much the vacations that you like, Carolyn, are like Indiana Jones style. It's like you want to get into the, I want to, that's what I want to, but you want to get like the traveling, you want that plane, you want the map to be like a line that follows which way you go. Like that.
It'll be a like, montage. This is where they are right now.
You're like on a plane with chickens and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that would be super fun.
I don't know why plane chickens would be
like,
on a plane.
I feel like cruises will be great. Like, if somebody was like, hey, come to this cruise with me, like, I'll pay for you. And I'll be like, okay. Like, no, I mean, like, seriously, if it was free.
That sounds
like
a proposition to me.
If it's free, I'll be like, heck,
come with me on this cruise. I'll pay for you. Up there.
Well,
I'm you know, just left alone.
I mean, like, I will say, if anybody pays for my vacation, that's pretty sweet. But,
nothing's for free, man. Nothing is for free.
I'm just saying that, like, okay, cruise, like, I'll say, like, I probably will enjoy it, like, if I was to go. I wouldn't be like, oh, I hate cruise. I'm not going.
I hate Tom Cruise.
I'd probably be like, yes, Penelope Cruz. I'm on the cruise. Yes. I couldn't know. I never knew a moisturizer before this, but now I have.
What are you talking, Penelope. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Penelope Cruz.
The moisturizer? What is that?
I haven't tried a better moisturizer than this.
Was she on a commercial?
I guess
so. Is that what that's from?
Probably. She's like, my skin is so soft now. Let's go on cruise.
I will wait here with my legs open.
I wait here with my legs open.
This is one of the best lines.
I'll go with you on cruise.
I'm not going to lie. Like, that's one of the best lines ever. And, like, if someone else delivered it, it'd be, like, slutty as hell. But the fact that she delivered that line, you're like, that's a fucking awesome line. I was going to say delicious. But that's such an awesome
line. It is kind of delicious.
It's a freaking great line. Don't leave. I'll wait for you. With my legs open. I'll be like, for how long?
I just wait for you on the cruise and I open my legs.
Make sure you wash up then.
Oh, God.
There's a breeze.
I mean, cruise can be probably pretty sweet, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, man. But basically, the way people try to sell it to you is that they're like, you can get like all this food and it's unlimited food.
I don't even think that they're really selling it to us. They're going like, I'm going on a cruise.
No,
they're
They are selling it to you because you know why?
So it's like a pyramid scam?
If you recruit people, you get a cost off of your ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
How much?
I don't know how much. It breaks down, though. If you get, like, at least 10, it depends which group you're going with, but if you get, like, 15 people, like, you basically get the cruise for free. But I'm saying, like, each person you recruit, it knocks off a certain amount for how much you have to pay. So that's why all these people are trying to get us to go on cruises. That's my personal
opinion. Bastards, man.
That is my personal opinion about why they're trying to do it.
Those bastards.
But here's the deal with the cruise.
Let me know.
I'm all about exploring other places. Like, that part I'm cool with. But I don't understand why the number one factor that people that try to get me to go on cruises is, they're like, you can eat anything you want 24/7. Because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, that's actually not what I want.
Especially after you're hearing that, like, oh, yeah. Hot dogs and red meat and all this, they just cause cancer.
Yeah.
They probably cause cancer.
You know what's funny?
Cancer.
If I go on a cruise and like I actually get something I want to eat, I'm going to eat like squash, broccoli. Like, I eat vegetables, so it's like, oh, I can eat vegetables.
She's a vegetable eating machine.
Or I'll just go crazy and like, you know, my vice is nachos. Or I'll just eat nachos all the time. How healthy is that going to be? And then I'm going to get all like gross and fat and sick on the boat.
But here's the fear. What if you don't like the food? And then you're like...
Apparently, they say the food is really good. Like, why is that the number one draw on these cruises? People are like, oh.
I mean, when you go... It's basically a roving Atlantic City or Las Vegas or a casino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's basically like it's like a moving Golden Corral. Like, I think Golden Corral, that should be their next thing. Since everyone's promoting, like, this 24/7 eat. Like, Golden Corral should have their own line of cruise ships.
That'd be so disgusting.
And people go on. It's like a full-on Golden Corral.
It's a Golden Corral cruise. It'll look exactly like Golden Corral.
Yeah, and it looks God, like it just looks like Golden Corral and, like, people just eating all the
time.
You
know what's the worst? Is when, like, it's the end of the dessert and there's, like, just slop left.
Ew.
That's what the pole is going to look like.
Oh, my God. Gross. Ew!
That's the worst when you go to, like, I don't know. If you don't upkeep your dessert table, that holds down the
whole
buffet.
They're like, we have unlimited soft serve and chocolate fountain.
But you got to make that buffet, you got to make that dessert table look great each time.
Let's plan this cruise because this is like, okay, so
it's
going
to be like the Weezer cruise?
No, it's the Golden Corral cruise.
No, I'm not planning that.
No, and then what it is, it has like a giant chocolate fountain that's like,
the pool size?
You can actually swim in it.
All right, so you're going to swim in something that people are going to be eating? You have all types of just disease.
That's what I want.
That.
Yeah, it would be like a pool. Like that would be their highlight. They'll be like, "We have a chocolate pool."
That shit's gonna turn into some sort of orgy, man. It's an orgy of people eating chocolate off each other.
And then they're gonna have like, and you know how like Golden Corral's new thing this year was introducing the white chocolate fountain. So you can have a like the regular milk chocolate fountain and have the white chocolate fountain. And then like, but they'll be intersecting in a pool. So there's two big pools, and then you have like soft serve outlets like around the boat.
Yeah.
So you could just like open your mouth and like get some more. There'll be like different outlets where it's just like you can just have ice cream and stuff. And then I don't know what else they're known for. I guess the new thing that they're promoting also is shrimps. So you can have unlimited shrimp buffet.
From Golden Corral?
Yeah, from Golden Corral. Remember they have the fried shrimp and the scampi shrimp? Remember because Danny put it all on like the skewer and was dipping it in the chocolate fountain? Like shrimps with chocolate. He was merging like the two things that they're known
fun
for.
Fun with food.
Yeah. So what else could we do at Golden Corral? Because also at some of these cruises, it is like Vegas. You can gamble, or they have live comedy shows, and they have music and bands making appearances and karaoke, and they even have like art auctions, so you can bring home, you know, some who knows what they sell art. You know, you can have tons of fun. And it's like a 24/7 party. I'm trying to think of what else we could do at Golden Corral besides the food. Probably have some type of karaoke or something. Or we could have some type of like sport Olympics. I don't know, man.
Sport Olympics?
Like you can have like a mini golf course up there.
Sport Olympics.
Yeah, you can have like a mini golf course. There's just so many things you can do with Golden Corral. You can have like an actual corral and have the people like run.
A corral? What is a corral? Like, define a corral.
Like a corral to me is like, you have a whole bunch of farm animals together.
you have farm animals on a cruise? Yeah, this is the petting zoo. Watch out for the poop. Here's a camel.
Like, no, you know how when you corral, like it's like you have to corral all the animals. You know there's like a sheepdog who's like corralling all the animals together? That's like, to me.
This is going to be the worst smelling cruise of all time. Sorry. You're gonna have a petting zoo, and then you're gonna have chickens. You're gonna have like a buffet, and then I'm gonna this is what I picture.
Pool.
This is what I picture. It's gonna be like Jurassic Park, where like the animals are gonna bust loose, and they're gonna head right towards the buffet, and then the buffet is gonna be filled with all these animals just like getting into the chocolate fountain and shit like that. And dogs will be getting sick all over the place.
I like this Golden Corral cruise idea. I'm gonna pitch it to them. I'll be like, you know how everybody loves your food. Well, how about 24/7?
On the water, baby! On the water!
On a cruise boat with all with like some animal friends, like chickens and stuff.
And they have it like at the same prices too.
Oh, and the pigs can be in the chocolate fountain too, like in their slop.
Disgusting. That's not mud. That's not mud.
Oh, I love it. And the, like the fountain can be inside the pool too, so like little kids can go under the fountain, hop around in there, be all joyful. It'll be like
be all joyful.
You know, like in Willy Wonka, that fat boy went into the chocolate fountain. What was his name?
Fat. Hey, fat boy.
It was like that German
fat boy,
kid.
Hey, fat boy.
I don't remember his name.
Fat boy.
He was. Come on, man. He was.
Fat boy. That's equivalent to saying, hey, old man.
Hey, old man.
Hey, fat boy.
I forgot his name.
Hey, fat boy.
I'm going to look it up. I need to know.
Who's got me chocolates?
Wasn't there a guy in The Simpsons? I'm looking up fat boy. Fat boy Slim. Fat boy
my bosoms.
Willy Wonka.
I've watched.
Oh, fat German boy on Willy Wonka comes up.
So is that how they are in Germany? Just fat.
Augustus Glump.
Yes, because I know that name perfectly.
He was like the kid that wouldn't stop eating. Because each kid in Willy Wonka had like some type of vice, and the whole point of the Oompa Loompas were they would come out and sing about the vice. So they were talking about when Augustus Glump kept eating and eating, and they were saying that you will get fat. That was the whole lesson of that. Because he wanted to eat the chocolate fountain or the chocolate pool or whatever it was, or lake.
He's just eating it, scooping with his hand,
I guess it
right?
was a chocolate river, and then he wanted to eat it so badly. Because even Willy Wonka gave him a warning beforehand. He was like, no, don't touch the river, you'll contaminate it. That's what he said.
Was the first one just as fat as the second one?
Yeah.
Were they equally as fat?
Yeah, they're both pretty fat.
I don't mind. I'm not going to lie. I don't mind the second Willy Wonka. I watched it again.
The best part was the squirrels.
The only thing I have a problem with is I find the Oompa Loompas very grotesque.
Oh, they should. Oh, the Oompa Loompas.
What if they could be on the
Dude, they could be on the cruise. They could do like...
No, they cannot be on the cruise.
They can be the activity like at night. They should put on a show.
Why don't they have a Willy Wonka land somewhere? Is there anyone that has a Willy Wonka?
I would want to
Who has a Willy Wonka land?
Like a Willy Wonka
who
theme
owns
park.
Willy Wonka? Yeah, who owns that? Disney? Probably Disney. It's probably Disney owns.
Isn't there a Willy Wonka candy company?
Yeah, but that does it. Who made the movie?
I don't know. I don't think Disney. It's not Disney though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
Are you sure?
You mean the new one?
Yeah, the new one.
I'm gonna check.
Because someone needs to make a land out of that where people can actually get stuck and go to that. That'd be so great. You know what that would be? That would be great. I would go to that. I don't know how big it would be, but then at the end you get launched into space. I seem to remember some sort of land like that. I don't know why. I remember being at an amusement park where they had that.
I don't know. I don't think it's owned by Disney, though. Because if it was, we'd hear more about it. And they would have already done it.
They would have totally made that into Willy. They would have totally made that into Wonka Land. What is it called? It's just the Chocolate Factory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, like, the children's author, I'm probably going to mispronounce his name. Wasn't it Roald Dahl? People always pronounce it so fast that I never actually got to be like,
The children's classic, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, written by Roald Dahl.
Yeah. He also did James and the Giant Peach.
And James and the Giant Peach.
He has, like, a whole bunch of other ones.
From the producers of A Nightmare Before Christmas.
I think the Oompa Loompas could perform at the Golden Corral.
They usually go like, from the producers of James and the Giant Peach comes an everlasting tale. Something like that.
It's very formulaic when that voice comes in.
I wonder if I can get that voice one day.
Practice. Practice makes perfect.
From the producers of A Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach is... I'll never forget the name of the movie with Johnny Depp.
Willy Wonka?
No, the other one. The
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Corpse Bride. I bet when I'm older I can do that.
My voice
isn't coarse enough yet.
I think that Disney, this is another tip to Disney. They can do a cruise called Pirates of the Caribbean Cruise, and it takes you to the Caribbean, and there's pirates on the boat to entertain you.
And everyone
like
has
characters.
And they'd be like, okay, everyone, there's one treasure. You cannot share. See you later. Pirates of the Caribbean.
See, I feel like that's an idea that they can make money with.
I got to amp up my gain. Pirates of the Caribbean. From the makers of James and the Giant... James and the Giant Peach. I got to amp it up and I can do the voice so I don't have to speak as loud. This has been another... wonderful edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show. Yeah. One day I'll be able to do it. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check out their work at strayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also go stray.tumblr.com. Also 1-shots.com. And soon there'll be a new Stray Productions. No, there'll be a new Joe Carabeo website. Built better. What do you got, Carolyn?
Well, I have a website. It's carolynbelewski.com. You can check out all my design work and illustrations. And I also have a comic strip called Curls, and that's available at curls-studio.com/curls. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those good things. And you can find me at Carolyn Belewski. And don't forget to join us this coming Saturday at DC Podfest from 10 to 11 p.m. Joe and I will be doing a live Carolyn and Joe show.
Carolyn and Joe show.
Yes, we'll have links to purchase the ticket. You can go to www.carolynandjoeshow.com to find out all the information. And we hope to see you there. And just for reference, the service fee is only like something like $1.34 or something like that. It's not an additional fee of,
I was
of
fooled.
11
I was fooled.
Something dollars.
I was fooled, and I stand corrected.
And I just want to make sure that everyone else knows that. So that it's not like a $20, $21 ticket. It's like $11.
But I wouldn't put change. I wouldn't put it past Ticketmaster and all of them to do that. They've done it before.
No, this is but brown paper tickets.
This is brown paper tickets. They're proper with their janks.
Yeah. So now we know. And knowing's half the battle.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
And you're bona fide.